We love you. We thank you for grace. Thank you for laughter. Thank you for mirrors. They tell the truth. And your word is a mirror. It tells us the truth. And it helps us look like Jesus every day. Father, anoint me and anoint your people. We look forward to this teaching in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord God forever and ever. As you know, I wanted to say this real quick. Brother Clay has been coming. He's going to try to be here on Wednesdays. It's kind of hard for his job, but he's going to help us out with some of the sound stuff and some of the technical things. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. That's exciting. Amen. And Pastor Jennifer just did a backflip and said, hallelujah. Amen. You know, anytime you're in a ministry and you're doing the best you can, you know, it's always hard work, you know, it's hard work. But it always pays off at the end. So I wanted to share that with you. All right, we're talking about deception and discernment, kingdom perspectives. And last time we got together, remember, Paul was dealing with false teachers. We're dealing with that today in the body of Christ in a big way. Remember, anytime somebody calls somebody false, you have to understand the Word of God. And what it means to be false is to specifically, purposely, pointedly, and with all intentions lead somebody astray. That's a false teacher. That's a false prophet. And so Paul was dealing with that. He said, hey, let me just fix this over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And he says in verse 3, remember that we walk or we conduct our life in the flesh that's subject to emotions. But he said, look, I don't want you to do that. I want you to walk according to faith, and I want you to war according to the Word of God and according to your spirit man, because none of us in this room could ever win any spiritual battle through emotions. How can I say this? Well, I'll just say it like it is. Anytime you suffer frustration in your life, you're operating in flesh. Because frustration is a sign of the flesh. It really is. Because faith, I'm not talking about the battle of faith and you go through that warring part. I'm just talking about you're frustrated with everything in life. Nothing works. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. You're beating your head against this way. This ain't happening. That door's not opening. On and on and on. It is a sign that you're trying to do it in your flesh and you're frustrated and it's going to cause you to sin or it's going to cause you to forget it and quit. Boy, I got real quiet in this Presbyterian church, but it's the truth. Amen? It's the truth. And so what do? We have to rest in faith. We still have to fight in faith, but we don't get frustrated because we know the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. And so I'm just giving you a little extra from what I taught on last time, but Paul was talking about that. Remember weapons, hopon, the word H-P-O-L-N, several ways to pronounce that. But look what it means. Look at the definition. Tools, weapons, and instruments. So spiritual warfare, like I told you last Wednesday, is not you getting up and shouting at the devil all the time. In fact, the greatest strength of spiritual warfare is standing still and worshiping God. Now, I know back in the 80s, we would scream and shout. Remember, shout at the devil and shout. And we do all that and run around, pull our hair out, and get tired. Do I believe that there's times when you do that? Sure, there's times when you go all out in battle and you have intercessory prayer, groaning, and just getting before God and tearing at the altar. But for the most part, if we'd learn how to stand and stand in faith, worship God and speak the word, the battle's already been done. And so he said there'd be tools, weapons, and instruments. Warfare, what is that? That is a campaign or military service. So we're going to be in some type of warfare. I don't want to go back over all that, though I love teaching spiritual warfare. I just think that we waste a lot of time giving the devil attention instead of glorifying God. Listen, glorification and exalting God means to make him larger than he is in your situation, because he is larger than your situation. And it brings you the conviction and confidence and faith as you declare and hear the word of the Lord. You become 1,000 times bigger on the inside than your situation facing you on the outside. That's a powerful principle in spiritual warfare. Okay, I'm not going to go over the rest. You just get that CD or go back in the archives and check it all on out. Okay, so tonight, as I was seeking the Lord, he dropped this in my spirit. It's all part of deception and discernment, but I want to take you to down another road and another view you may never have seen before, and it's going to bless you real good. We're going to talk about perception. Perception. And I'm going to give you the definition of perception. So you can write this down. It's going to be a little lengthy. But I want you to see the definition. Then I'm going to give you two examples of it, and then I'm going to get to the core of the teaching tonight. And this is really going to change you, because it's changed me in the past as I've been taught this and I have lived this. You ready? Perception. For the word perception, it means this: to become aware of. So if I'm going to walk in perception, I have to perceive, right? So to become aware of, to know, to become aware of, to know, and identify by the means of senses. So to perceive or perception is to become aware of, to know, to identify by means of senses. Okay? It also means to recognize, discern, envision, or understand. Let me say it one more time all the way through. To perceive, to become aware of, to know, identify by means of senses, to recognize, discern, and envision, or understand. All right? You got that? Go to 2 Kings. Go to 2 Kings real quick. We'll look at an Old Testament example of that. And I'm telling you, I'm going to do my best not to preach this, because this stuff just fires me up. Because I want to perceive the things of God. I want to know what I'm talking about. I want to know who I'm talking about. I want intimate knowledge of the Father. Are you ready? 2 Kings. Let me know when you're there. Oh, did I tell you that already? Where's your faith at? 2 Kings chapter 4. I was waiting on you. I figured some would operate in the gifts and say, it's chapter 4. Yeah, right. All right, check this out. Verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying to the servant, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him and my two sons, to the bondman. I mean, she was in trouble. You're worried about somebody calling up because you can't pay your cable bill. They fixing to come take the children. That's a bad day, isn't it? So she says, and Elijah says unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. So the man of God gives her a formula of faith for a miracle. She goes ahead and she obeys it. Go down to verse 9. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive. Everybody say perceive. That this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us so continually. It took a miracle for her to recognize and realize that this was a man of God. She finally perceived it. Now here's the word in the Hebrew for that. It's yada, Y-A-D-A, yada, 30:45, if you're going to study it out and go further with it. It means to know, to be acquainted. To know or to be acquainted. So here was the woman of God. She was in trouble. She was in debt. She was going to have her children taken from her. Then all of a sudden, the man of God who had been there, she just did not perceive him to be who he was. Then the miracle took place, and she became acquainted, and she, yada, she had knowledge of who he really was. Do you see that? So that's an Old Testament understanding. Now go to Matthew chapter 13, and like I said, you can take this scripture, take the whole context of what I gave you, and really, really study this out. That's just not going to be this teaching tonight. But I wanted you to see that and capture that word yada in your understanding. So Matthew chapter 13, let's look at verse 11. Verse 11, and I'll read on. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundantly. But whosoever hath not, from him shall it be taken even that he hath. He said, look, if I give you knowledge and information, you should increase upon that. If you don't, you're going to lose it. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Is that right? Verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, in hearing you do hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you shall not see, and shall not, what? Perceive. Here's the word in the Greek for you. This, and I'm not making this up. This is a cool word. I do. E-I-D-O. I do. I do perceive. I do understand. 1492, if you're going to look it up. I do. It means to see or to discern. The number was 1492. Columbus sailed the blue. Is that right? Okay, I want to make sure I got that right. In case my old history teacher's listening, 1492, to discern and to see, or see and to discern. So Jesus is laying out these parables. Here's the reason, and the word perceive is right there, and that is I do, which means to see and discern. Now, let me get to the meat of the teaching and now go to John chapter 4. These are just two little things I wanted to give you to match the English dictionary version of perceiving. As you can see, there's a parallel, there's an understanding that we must identify, discern, and vision and understand if we're going to walk in perception. Okay? God does not want you blind, and God does not want you ignorant to things in life, especially when it comes to the Word of God. So John chapter 4, man, this thing here, we can just do this all night because it's a phenomenal story. I've preached and taught this thing so many different ways, and I just can't get enough of it. But verse 1, we'll try to get through it without me hollering. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed unto where? Galilee. So he's going to go on a journey. Watch this, verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. You might want to underline in your Bible, because it's underlined and highlighted in my Bible, because there's a time that God is going to have you go somewhere in a must needs way. In other words, Jesus had to go there. It really wasn't part of the plan, but he had to go there. And I'll explain that part in just a minute. But watch this, verse 5. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. The word Sychar there means forbidden, or excuse me, falsehood or drunkenness. Sound like he was going to one of y'all's family reunions. Boy, you guys are holy tonight, man. What's going on? That's proof positive of the fact that Jesus will go anywhere sinners are. He said, I must needs go. So when he said to his people, please understand this, they didn't have the understanding we did, as far as taking the Bible and seeing it in print. When Jesus made the announcement to disciples, hey, we're going down to the city of falsehood and drunkenness, everybody knew exactly what he was talking about. It'd be like going, I don't even want to try to name a name, but it'd be like saying, we're headed to Miami or whatever. We're headed to such and such avenue or such and such block. Everybody in the room would go, oh my gosh, you're going there? You're going to really go over there? That's a bad place. But Jesus said what? He said, I must needs, man. I got to go there. I got to get over there. Okay, so here he is now. He's on his journey. He's headed into this place because he has an appointment with destiny. And there's a great opportunity that's about to take place. Now we go on. Let's look at verse 19. Read the rest of this tonight. Make this your homework for the rest of the week. Just take some time and read the conversation and what Jesus did. Jesus did something very phenomenal that I want to open your heart to in just a minute. What happened? Watch this. Verse 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, Jesus just told her of her situation, her immorality, and all the different things she was involved in. He spoke to her in complete English that she would understand. They even had a religious debate for a minute on how and who and where about worship. She had a little bit of religion, enough to understand, but she still had some issues. She had some baggage. You know what I'm talking about. And so Jesus had no problem ministering to her because he knew what he was there for and what he was going to do. So watch, verse 19. The word therefore perceive is a different word. Here it is. I'm going to spell it out for you. T-H-E-O-R-E-O. T-H-E-R-E-O. Theo-reho. That's a hard one, isn't it? And that's going to be 20, I think I get right here, 2534. All right, T-H-Theo-reho, T-H-E-O-R-E-O. All right, what does that mean? It means this. It means to be a spectator. It means to be a spectator, to view attentively, to be a spectator. So Jesus comes to the woman at the well. He's ministering. He's speaking the word. He's trying to unlock some keys in her life. He reveals to her her past. He speaks about the future of worship. And then he says this. She says, I perceive that you are a prophet. Why? Why all of a sudden did that happen? Because what he said to her unlocked her understanding, and the word there for perceive, she became a spectator. In other words, you ever watch somebody, I hate to tell on the guys in here, but you know, when a guy's watching a game and she walks by, how's this look on me? It's good. It's good. You know, I'm not on camera, so they can't see what I'm doing, but you know, you're looking past her. Yeah, it's great. It looks great. I guess I'm the only one that's ever done that. But, you know, and then to have a conversation, a really deep conversation, and then quiz you 30 minutes later. Do you remember what we were talking about? No, not really. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But the reality is the spectator is the person who's fixed upon the information that they're receiving and what they're seeing, and they don't care about the peripherals. They don't care what's going on. They are so attentive. When Jesus spoke the revelation knowledge words to her, she became so She became so, what's that? Yeah, enthralled, involved, just so into the prophetic word that it unlocked her perception, and she began to see him not as some guy at the well begging or walking around looking for water. In her mind, she's probably thinking, dude, another guy wanting some water. Because he wasn't supposed to be there. He wasn't supposed to be there. So what did Jesus do? Watch this. Jesus came at the right time to produce this story, which was more than just a story. It was God causing a paradigm shift to take place in Samaria with the Samaritans, with this woman, and his deal that he was making with the Gentile world. Because Jesus wasn't supposed to be there. He was a man. Did he break any laws? No, he didn't break any laws, not laws that would bind him in any form or fashion. He was breaking tradition, and he was breaking the rules, if you will, of man, but he was doing something. So this woman, here she is, she's starting to perceive, she's having attention towards what he just said, and she begins to really realize that he's a prophet. But what happened was, watch this in verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now he starts to talk about some very powerful kingdom principles. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father, you worship what you don't even know what you're worshiping. Watch what he says. For salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is. Say now is. Now's the time. He was coming with a kingdom principle and a kingdom paradigm shift for everybody involved. The disciples, the Samaritans, the Jews, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. Jesus must go through Samaria to the place of falsehood and drunkenness so that he could relieve them of their sin and show them a bombshell of a revelation. Because this wasn't supposed to happen. He's a single Jew. He's a man. He's not supposed to be even in the region. And he walks in there and he comes with a bold, bold statement. Watch now. But here's the thing. Verse 19 is the key. If she did not perceive, she never would have received. If she did not perceive, she never would have received. Listen. Let me give you some examples. I'll first take this to the heavenly realm. If you don't perceive that God on his throne is a good God and a good father, you'll never receive the blessings of him and what he has for you, because you'll always walk around with complexes and condemnation thinking God hates you or God wants to use you and abuse you like your parents did or someone in authority over you, because that's how our view, we look at God through the filter of our life. Yes, we do. We look at God through the filter of our pastors that we've had. We look at God through the filter of our overseers and people in authority who've done us wrong and have done us right. But the Word of God, that is the complete filter. We should always look at God and say, he's a good God. Yeah, I've been through some bad stuff. Yeah, I've had people hurt me. I've had abuses and all these different things. But I'm not going to look through the filter of my past and my emotions and my scars and my wounds and my hurts. I'm going to look through the Word of God and realize that he's a great, great, great God. Isn't that right? So if I perceive God as awesome, that he doesn't want to hurt me, that I perceive that he loves me, then guess what? I'll receive all that back. It'll be reciprocal. Come on, most people in the church have baggage with God. Oh, it's getting real quiet. But it's true. And listen, this is the best place to get it fixed right here. This is baggage claim right here. Just leave the baggage here and we'll get a Samsonite monkey and have him jump all over it, or a gorilla. We'll do something with it. First, we're going to go through it and see what you got in there. But they do it at TSA anyways. You know that's the truth. I've gone all around the world, man, and you find your toothbrush with your shaving kit and the shaving kit with your shoe shining kit, and I'm like, what are you doing? I don't want to know what you're doing. Forget it. I don't even want to know what them. Anyways, but the perception is, if I have baggage in my life and I think of God through the lens and the filter of my baggage, then I will never have that relationship that's proper with him. And it's the same thing with people around you. Again, so many people have this in the church. But if you don't perceive if you don't perceive the person sitting next to you as valuable and a child of God, you'll never receive the benefits of them. They'll just be annoying to you. They'll just be someone you have to tolerate. Same thing with your pastor. If you don't perceive who he is, then you'll never receive the fullness of him. If I don't perceive who you are, I'll never receive the benefits of who you are. Does that make sense? And so this is very important when it comes to discernment and deception, that we have perception, that we have attentive understanding to the Word of God. We're completely focused on the Word of God. And when we do that, we reap the benefits of the Word of God. We reap the benefits of a relationship with God that is clean, it's unhindered, it's unadulterated. There's nothing between me and God. Billy Graham wrote a book called Peace with God many, many years ago, and it was a powerful book. And a lot of people in the church today still don't have peace with God. And that's sad. But you don't have perception. You don't perceive him for how he really is. This is good teaching, isn't it? But it's healthy teaching. Because if we would understand people around us, and this can work to the flip side. This is the part of discernment, because perception is discernment. It mixes, it ties together. That if we would just have enough perception, we could understand when something's being taught wrong. We could understand when we're being misled. We can understand whenever there's something bad being done to our lives and cut it off at the pass. Wouldn't that be nice? Watch this. I wrote this down for you. Her perception unlocked a powerful kingdom principle and paradigm shift that heaven was ready to reveal right then and there. Watch this. You could be right now in any church, wherever you are, listening to me, and God is about to drop a mighty move of his spirit. He's fixing to do something. He's going to do drop a mighty revelation, a bombshell. But your perception will not allow you to receive it, and you'll miss it. Church folk today are missing the hour we're living in. They're missing the hour of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They're missing the hour that harvest is coming. They're missing the hour that it's going to be mixed and mingled with judgment, and they can't perceive it because they have so much distraction, so much cotton candy is going on at the fair. They're looking at the Ferris wheels and all the clowns and every lights and all the stuff's going on, and they're not perceiving that there's a facade in front of them. When the Word of God tells you exactly the hour we're living in, but you choose to listen to men, politicians, you listen to news agencies, you listen to family members, and you miss what God is about to do because you can't perceive the hour we're living in. Wish I had a friend. Wish I had somebody as my friend tonight, but it's the truth. And people are going to miss what God is going to do. Well, I'll get on it at the later stage. Yeah, you may not. All I know is I just want to get in it right from the get-go. I want to be right there in the midst of it. Some of y'all like going to the buffet after everybody's flipped everything over 30,000 times. Me, number one, I don't want to go to a buffet. But number two, if you made me go, I want to get there when they crack the door open. Anybody here? I don't want to. I have a story to tell you, but I won't tell you tonight. Oh, my gosh. I just won't even go there. Let me try to pull myself out of this one somehow. But watch. God was ready. Look at this, please. Hear this and understand this. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have Facebook, thank God. They didn't have email. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have YouTube. They did not have an understand. They didn't have a newspaper. They didn't have a hot air balloon. They didn't have MetLife with Snoopy going across Galilee and Samaria with, some of y'all know what I'm talking about, a blimp. Does anybody know what a blimp is? They didn't have no way of knowing what was about to take place and who was standing before. And God said this, I'm going to send Jesus to Samaria, I'm going to send him to Sychar, I'm going to send him to this well, I'm going to send him to this woman, and I am going to drop the huge bomb of revelation right there, right now. And she had no idea, but God used perception to release that word and to release that paradigm shift and that revelation knowledge that Jesus came for everybody and that he came to bring new life. Watch this. You worship not, you don't know what you're worshiping. Verse 23 says, but now, or the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. He just blew them away. This revelation was concealed, but it was revealed at the point of perception. When she said, "You're a prophet, I perceive there's something." She didn't know he was the Messiah, but she perceived. She said, "There's something about what you're saying that is unlocking something in me and stirring within me understanding, and I am going to look into this." And Jesus knew right then when she said, "I perceive," bam, she got a word that changed us all. The story could have been written a different way. She could have just said, "Man, you crazy. That sun's a little too hot on your head, brother." And she just went on down the road with her pot, headed back to her sugar boob. But that ain't how it happened, was it? No, sir. No, ma'am. Watch what happens. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Bam! Another revelation bomb. Boof! Never heard before. Never understood before. Again, no Bible, no texting, no email, no phone app, nothing. Just pure revelation of the walking word called Jesus. And the woman saith to him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is to come, he will tell us all things." Now she's getting a little hotter. First, he's a prophet. And the perception brought her to another place. And God, Jesus is about to take her up to that next level and show her another paradigm that she didn't see before. But how did it happen? It happened through her perceiving, first of all, there was something amazing about him. That's how you grow in God. You perceive. You perceive you're in a house where they're teaching and preaching truth. You perceive that what's being said is reality. You perceive that this is the word of God and that he is a good father. Man, you go after him. And you go to the next position in him. Watch this. Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Bam! Another revelation bomb. In fact, the biggest bomb of them all. He said, "I'm the one." You got it. Ding, 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 ding. Give her the big giant bear on the top shelf. None of y'all ever been to a carnival either. Some of y'all look like you worked at one, but good job. Elijah, no. Good job, brother. I wish that was on tape, because that was awesome. You know what I'm talking about, is that right? See, children know. Children won't lie. They're like, "Yeah, they do look like they worked at a carnival." Oh, I've been wanting to say that all the time. I hate going to the carnival. Let me stop for a second. I hate going to the carnival, because every time I walk by, they're like, "Hey, fat guy, you want to knock this thing out?" And I know they do it to get you to go there, lay a $20 bill on there, but oh, man, I'm... When I wasn't saved, I laid a few things on them. Yeah, they used to make me so mad. First, I was like, "How'd they know my name, Fatso?" And then, anyways. But watch. She received the revelation. Then Jesus had to get her there in her perception. Jesus had to get her there to the understanding where he could give her the ultimate word, the ultimate purpose of why he was there. He wasn't there for water. He was there to reveal himself that he is the living water. Woo! See, Jesus is trying to get us to the next level of understanding, not so that we can just stay on that bottom rail, but that we can go to the next rail and the next rail and the next level of understanding. But it starts with perception. How do you perceive God? How do you perceive the Bible in your hand? Do you perceive it like the rest of the knuckleheads on television, that he's all about money and Bentleys and, you know, mansions? Is that what it is? Is that what all this is about? Or do we perceive that he's still wiping blinded eyes out of people and deaf ears unstopped and mute tongues will sing again, the lame will walk and the dead will rise again? Do we perceive that we are the generation to see the glory of God? Do we perceive that a young child who is demon-possessed can be free by the power of that name? You better believe we believe that. And you better believe we perceive that. That's why we're going to receive it. That's why we're going to receive. We perceive when we're in a shoebox that one day we're going to get out of there, and now we're receiving a building onto our own. Glory to God. And we didn't have daddy or mommy big bucks give it to us, except the one that sits upon the throne. Hallelujah. I feel fired up, man. Is it Sunday? Huh? Because I want to boast on God. I ain't boasting on me. I'm boasting on Him that He provides and we perceive and we believe and therefore we receive everything that He has for us. Oh, I wish the church would get a hold of this thing. This ain't name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. Man, this is perceiving. I'm a spectator. I'm watching you. I'm watching the Lamb. I'm watching you work in my life. I'm attentive to your word. I see that this is real. And I know you'll never leave me, never forsake me. People will. People will stab you as soon as you turn around. How's that feel? Oh, it was great. I appreciate that. Verse 27, and upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked with the woman. Hey, let me just stop right there. It ain't got everything to do with building and materials, man. Just the fact that you are free from alcohol and disease and free from tobacco and drug addiction and sexual immorality and all the craziness of pornography and addiction, just those things enough, the perception that you can be free and knowing that you received that freedom, man, that's awesome. You can have the building. I would rather be free and clear in my mind and live in a car than be jacked up in some mansion somewhere like a lot of them freaks you all go see on the movies. Oh, man, I don't know where that came from. Anyways, let me write that down. I'll put that on Sunday. You'll probably hear it again. All right, where were you? What seeketh thou? Verse 27. Or why do you talk with her? I mean, they're freaking out. What's up with this man? This is Jesus. What's he doing? Well, he wasn't doing nothing wrong. He's doing what the Father told him to do. And the woman then left her water pot and went her way unto the city. Watch this again. The woman left her water pot and went her way unto the city. She left her water pot. You understand what that means? That means that whenever you perceive who Jesus really is, there's some things you're going to leave behind. Matthew left his government job and followed Christ. The disciples left their fishing business and their father and their mothers and they followed Christ. Paul left his religious career and followed Christ. When you really perceive who he is, there's something you and me will leave behind. Woo, that'll preach right there. Forget your old water pot. Too many Christians carrying their water pot with them. Don't carry your water pot. Let it go. In verse 29, she went away into the city and said to the men, come see a man. Not a girly man. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? See her revelation. Was elevated. Verse 30, and they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Jesus said, check this out, verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. So he opens their understanding. The perception comes. There's a revelation knowledge. Now watch what all this brings, and I'm going to close with this. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode with them how long? 2 days. The perception of this woman at the well produced an elevation of revelation that he was the Messiah. And because of that revelation that he was the Messiah, it produced a 2-day revival and a visitation of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and mighty, mighty works of God. Verse 41, and many more believed. There's your revival. That's a sign of revival. Many more believed because of this of his own word. And he said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I love this teaching as I close, that when you and I begin to fully entertain the things of God and we begin to perceive what God is saying and what he means, what he's saying to us, and we come to the understanding and revelation knowledge, then we begin to be elevated. Listen, not only in knowledge, which puffs you up, but you become elevated in relationship with him. I believe, man, that Enoch was just so close to God, God just swooped him up. He just said, come up here, boy. You're so awesome. Man, I love hanging out with you. Get on up here. Some of us look at that and say, that's too lofty. God can't even stand me. No, God loves you. And the Holy Spirit is the only force, the only personality, the only entity of God that can stand being with you, even when you can't stand being with yourself. Did you know that? He doesn't leave you when you do 56 miles an hour in a 55. He doesn't leave you when you stub your toe and make a mistake. He's always there because he's a friend that sits closer than any brother. But if I'll perceive that, then I will go to the next level that he has for me. I believe the greatest revival for America, it'll come during persecution, it'll come during destruction, it'll come during very bad times. But I also believe that revival will come when we perceive that this is the real hour we're living in. We'd stop all these phony dreams of believing that politicians and political solutions can fix the sin of our nation and the sin of our heart. Only Jesus can do that. When we perceive that, we'll be in revival. This church perceives it, and we're going to receive the glory. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for this word. Thank you for stopping by Samaria. I thank you, Jesus, that you just blew everybody away by going to the place of falsehood and drunkenness. Thank you, because that's where I lived. Thank you. When all the religious folk went a U-turn and didn't want to get near me at all, they didn't want to talk to me. Jesus, you went to Sakar. You went to the place where I hung out. You knew my address. Glory to God forever. I'm so glad. And Lord, I'm glad that I perceived that you were more than a prophet, but you were my Savior. Father, may all those listening to me tonight perceive who you really are and enjoy the vastness of your greatness. Bless us the rest of this week and bring us together for a mighty move of your Spirit on Sunday. In Jesus' name.